Outline of Sermonette. Delivered over radio station Cora, Eugene, Oregon, week beginning October 9, 1933, by Herbert W. Armstrong. Friday morning, October 13, 33. We shall continue this morning where we left off yesterday. We have seen that Jesus came to confirm the promises made to the fathers. If we are Christ's, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs of these promises, that the fathers were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the promise made to them was the land, and possession of it, which necessarily involve inheritance, and that the land promised was not heaven, but the land of Canaan, now known as Palestine, reaching from the Nile River in Africa to the Euphrates River in Asia, the land, as Stephen said, to the Jews in Jerusalem, after the crucifixion, wherein ye now dwell. And we have seen further that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all died, not having received the promise. Will you turn with me to the 13th chapter of Luke, the 28th and 29th verses? Jesus, explaining the kingdom of God to the Jews in a synagogue on a Sabbath day, said, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets, in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God." Notice, now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all died not having received the promises, yet they are to be seen in the kingdom of God. Does this sound as if the kingdom of God is simply the church, that body of saved people on earth at the present time? Notice that many others shall come from lands in all directions, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not in the Christian church, and yet they, and all the prophets are going to be seen in the kingdom of God. That kingdom will be a literal kingdom, a government, a nation occupying the land which was promised to Abraham and his seed to be possessed for an everlasting possession. It will be a literal kingdom occupying a literal territory, from the Nile to the Euphrates River, on this earth. Now if we are Christ's, then we, too, are heirs of these promises, and will become citizens in this blessed kingdom. How many, then, of all past ages, who through faith in Christ were Abraham's seed, and co heirs of these promises, have died, not having received the promises? When shall all these numerous people inherit those promises? They will all inherit them, just as we shall if we comply with the terms, at the same time that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will actually receive their promised possession at the resurrection of the just. The promises include possession of the land forever. The kingdom of God is to be an everlasting kingdom. That involves also the promise of eternal life, a thing we do not now possess. The scriptures teach we are mortal, not immortal. Christ, only, hath immortality. We are told to seek for immortality, and we need not seek for that which we already have. The only hope held out to you and me in all the pages of God's holy word of any future life after the death of this life is the hope of the resurrection. Jesus had many disputes with the Sadducees, and so did Paul, over the resurrection. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God plainly told Adam and Eve that if they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they should surely die. Die does not mean continue to live, it means cease to live. But the devil appeared to them in the form of the serpent and sneered, "Oh yeah? Ye shall not surely die." And he is at it yet, telling folks they are immortal, that they shall not surely die, that they will live forever and go on to heaven or hell or some place, continuing conscious existence, from the very second of death. When God says you will surely die, God means you will die, not live. When he says the meek shall inherit the earth, and dwell in the land, he means land on this earth, just as he says. Let us believe God and quit being deceived. The facts regarding the resurrection are plainly set forth in the 15th chapter of I Corinthians. Let us consider the 3rd and 4th verses, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And now the 13th to the 20th verses, "And if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain, if there will be no resurrection. The resurrection, therefore, is your only hope of future life after death. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, yet are yet in your sins. If there is to be no resurrection of the dead, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If there is no resurrection, there is no other hope. Surely this is plain. Now let us see when this resurrection will be, for that is to be the time when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all who inherit the promises with them, shall come into the possession of them at the time when their immortality begins. Let us examine Ephesians 4:13-17, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Notice what this hope is, the resurrection, and not going to heaven at death. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, that is, those who have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice, we are caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord, as he comes. When a very dear friend has been over in Europe several years, and is returning home again, and you go to the railroad station to meet this friend, you do not turn around and go to Europe with the friend you come on back home. There is nothing here, or an inference here that we go on to heaven with Jesus. The scripture does not say that, and it is an unreasonable supposition, yet many have blindly assumed it. We are caught up in the clouds, and we meet him in the air. The air is in the earth's atmosphere, which extends only about 6 miles above the earth's surface. The earth is composed of elements. These elements are in the solid, liquid, and gaseous form. The air is that part of the earth elements in the gaseous form, and is therefore part of the earth. This scripture does not picture us leaving the earth and going to heaven any more than an airplane pilot does. Now notice, this text does affirm that the resurrection occurs at the second coming of Christ. Daniel 12 also affirms the same, making clear that the resurrection is at the time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. We are in just that kind of world trouble today. All signs, then, indicate we may look for the second coming and the resurrection any time now. So all these multitudinous children of Abraham are to be resurrected to life to inherit these promises and all inherit the land from the Nile to the Euphrates, right here on this earth. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, not heaven." Matt 5:5. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever, not in heaven. But it will be a heavenly land. All the curse, General 3:17-19, will be removed. There are numerous other texts through the Bible establishing the earth as our eternal home. When Jesus comes, and all signs says it will be soon now, he will set up his throne, will set up the kingdom of God to replace the kingdoms and governments of this present world, and the saints will take over the kingdom and possess it forever, Dan 7:18, until it fills the whole earth. This is the gospel Jesus preached, which we must believe to be saved. Available first from Friends of the Sabbath website www.friendsofsabbath.org.